your Bibles, take them if you would, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It is such a privilege to be able to be here, and I really am thankful always for Pastor Ray and his wife, his family, and then the church here, and I believe you're growing. Just about every time we come, we see some new faces and new folks, and we appreciate the opportunity to be able to park here, and then as well, the opportunity to preach. Can I introduce my family? Would you mind standing? This is my wife, Sherry, in the pink. And then on the aisle is Joseph. And then we've got Emily next there. And then Jonathan's at the end. And we have one more. He's in college in North Carolina. And we do have a prayer card that has a picture of all of them. And our oldest, Caleb, is a sophomore in college. And we're very, very thankful for our children and thankful for the Lord's calling each of them into the ministry, and are grateful for that. Wasn't that a wonderful song? Wow, I want to hear that again, and like a third time, and that was just great, powerful words, well done, and I give God the glory certainly for that, but it really spoke to my heart. You know, I've given my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know if you have or not, but this is the one that died for me, gives me salvation because he's already finished all the work for my salvation on the cross, and I've surrendered my life to him, and myself, my family, we travel in full-time evangelism, and we do this for someone we have not yet seen face-to-face, but one day we will, and at that point, when our faith becomes sight, everything becomes very clear. If you're here and perhaps you do not know what it means to be saved, as Brother Smith, when he was leaving singing, he's explaining that if you have not yet been saved, you can accept Christ as Savior. We're going to explain that today so you can know from the Bible how your sins can be forgiven and be saved. Now, I also like to mention this, that it's a DVD that we have. I asked Pastor if we could put up our book table there, and we have a DVD where I present the gospel and had a professional videographer just video me. And then we also captured some of the stories of people that have been saved through our ministry. And one additional gentleman who was not saved through our ministry. One is a Hindu lady who received Jesus Christ as Savior on a Sunday morning in our beginning of our revival crusade in Ohio. And immediately she came to me afterwards, after she came out of the room with the counselor, and she's just beaming. She said, "I want to be baptized." I said, wait. Baptism does not wash away your sins. She says, "I understand. I just trusted Christ, but I want everyone to know I am no longer Hindu, but I am Christian." Isn't that incredible? There's another man that was in and out of prison who trusted Christ as Savior. He shares his story. Another man who thought there's just no way I could ever be good enough in order to go to heaven. And he shares his testimony. And then one other was a man who was my neighbor growing up on the east side of Indianapolis. The east side. And I survived. I thought my neighbor, Larry, is never going to get saved. He would be the one that will never trust Christ as Savior. He was hard, cold. I'd invite him to church. Well, he did, and he shares his story on here. And the gospel is presented in under 10 minutes. There's two or three extra tracks on there. But we want to have it as a tool. If you know someone, a relative, a friend, someone they already know, this is a good tool for someone they already have a rapport with, to be able to get one of these and give it to them. We had a lady get a number of them, about 40 or so, and she said, "I'm going to put them in my Christmas cards because they're thin enough. It's not a CD. Remember, it's a DVD that you actually watch. And also, you can scan the QR code on the back and be able to watch it that way as well. And we'd love for you to be able to get those. There's some other things back there on the back table as well. Devotionals for every day of the year. Brand new devotional that's out. It's just really, really been well received. And I'm going to be using that this coming year on my own. It's called First Light Devotional. And we're going to encourage you with those things there. You have 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you are capable to stand, would you stand with me out of respect of God's word? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Beginning in verse 9, the Bible says this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. The title of the message today is The Place of Grace. The Place of Grace. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, I pray that you would guide me as I would preach. Lord, may I be filled with you, and Lord, simply and clearly articulate your word. But Lord, would you empower it, and would you impart truth? Lord, help those here that do not know Christ as Savior to be saved. I pray you'd help Christians to draw closer, and truly, Lord, to acknowledge our weakness before you. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We live in a fifth-wheel trailer all year round, and we pull it with a semi-tractor truck, and we were pulling into a place this spring in Georgia, and I was a little hesitant about where we're going to park. It's the first time to be at the church. He said it's a grassy area that is used for overflow parking. The church is growing. We bought some houses, tore those down, and we're parking in the grass. So, well, let's go check it out first. So I checked it out and got our plan, and we eased onto the grassy area. He said, don't worry, there's no septic tanks here. It's on city sewer, and everything should be fine. We eased on, and we stopped the truck and trailer. And I stopped it at a good place. Everything seemed to be pretty good, and I thought, okay, well, let's go over here. Let's do this, and let's get an exit strategy. You always need an exit strategy when you have a truck and trailer. And so as we're doing so, it's sitting there for a few minutes. And I noticed when I started to get back in the truck, semi-truck, it's big, it's heavy, the front left tire sunk down about 3 inches, just enough to give me concern. I said, well, look here, I think we ought to back up and redo this. Back here, nothing sank down, it was very hard. Why don't we back up? He said, no, the assistant pastor said, why don't you just go ahead and come forward, just keep going and don't stop. Okay, sounds like a good plan. So I go ahead and let out the clutch. I go at it. I'm getting on it. Just going to go on it nice and solid. I'm on grass. I'm not going very fast, but I'm going as best I can. And front tire went over the soft area. No problem. But the rear left tire sank down. Not 3 inches. All the way to the axle. There had been a septic tank on the property. And we found it. And all the way to the axle. The pastor says, well, what are we going to do? Should I go get the church bus and pull you out? No. I said, we need help. I need professional help. More ways than one. And I said, we need a tow truck to be able to pull us out of this mess. And I don't mean an F-350. We need a big one. A big tow truck, semi-tow truck to be able to get us out of this. And so it took us about 45 minutes to find one and locate it. And when the tow truck comes, it's like a 70,000-pound tow truck. It's got these hydraulic jacks. It's there to do the job. And it pulled up and, air brakes, engage. And you think, the rough, rugged tow truck driver, hoodie, ripped up jeans, and really rough and tough. And she was all that. And... So not only am I stuck, I've got a humble pie because a woman has to pull me out. And she says, well, you got yourself stuck. Yeah, I did. And so I thought we'd just kind of hook it up. Now, if you can, imagine with me with this aisle that the truck is actually angled off to the right, but the trailer is straight. It's going this way. But the truck, I was going into a curve, and so the truck is going diagonally this way. She said, well, I'll hook up a winch. And we'll hook it to the front, and we'll just ease you up. And that tire should find some solid ground and eventually come up out of there. I said, okay. And I said, you sure we shouldn't disconnect? No, shouldn't disconnect at this time. Keep it connected. That's the best thing. Okay. And so we go ahead, and she got the winch. We start pulling, and things are popping, and it's moving, and it's going along that angle and that curve that we already started. But instead of finding solid ground. It just kept moving through the dirt, digging a trench, two semi-truck tires wide, I don't know, 24 inches deep or so, and just digging through there, 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot, 4 foot, five, about 6 foot. I said, whoa, 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 things are piling up, dirt's underneath, things are bending, and all kinds of stuff's going on. And so she said, well, we're going to have to keep doing it. So we dug it out a little bit, and we tried it again, and eventually came up onto solid ground. I said, okay. I said, I think we ought to go backwards and get back to that solid ground there. Maybe we could reconfigure this and get a different angle. She said, no, 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 just go forward. Don't stop. I've heard that one before. So I get it, and I said, I'm going as fast as I can this time. Front two tires, front tires of the truck is fine, back tires of the truck are fine, we're going to that curve. We are not going to hit the same trench that I built, free of charge, for the church. We're going to curve, and the trailer's going to miss it. Well, it's going to miss it, but it's going to dig its own trench. And all of a sudden, I got bogged down, not one, not two, but all three of the trailer axles are sunk down. The tires are down all the way to the axle. The bottom of our trailer on one side was literally on the ground. It was like a 40-degree angle. We went in there, our refrigerator's on this side, and the doors were open, food's falling out. I went in, it felt like you're in a tilty world to try to put that stuff in and close the refrigerator doors. And I knew I was really in trouble when she said, okay, we need to go ahead and get a second truck so this thing doesn't tip over. 90% of all we own is in that trailer. Doesn't tip over. I thought I'm going to lose everything. Man that was helping us, he said, well, how long is it going to take? She's about 45 minutes. And he said, well, Brother Miller's supposed to be in the youth rally preaching to the teens right now. Do you mind if he goes to preach? She said, no. I said, I mind. This is a very traumatic experience here. My house is going to tip over. I'm going to lose everything I have. You know what I preached to the teenagers that night? On the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace. Oh, I was in the place of grace. You say, what do you mean? If I were either the first time I was stuck or even the second time I was stuck, if I tried in my own power, get in the truck and say, you know what, I'm just going to pull myself out of this. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to engage this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to get this, get both back tires going. I'm going to do this. If you're in a hole and you start spinning, what's going to do? What's it going to do? Is it going to help it? No. At that place, I had to acknowledge my total weakness and access the grace given by another. You see, the place of grace is where we acknowledge our total weakness before God in order to access His grace. Let's learn some truths about God's grace and our weakness today. First of all, let's recognize this about God's grace. Grace is God's strength. And I can prove that, I believe, from the passage. Let's look, if you would, at 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9. It says this, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now notice, he does not use the word grace again, but interchangeably for the word grace, he says, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, watch this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Number one, we're seeing grace is God's strength. Now, if you look up grace, the basic definition of grace is unmerited favor, and that is exactly true. We're going to get to the unmerited part in the second point, but let's see the favor part. If I were to say, you know, I need to move the organ here, and I come over here and I try to move the organ, there's no way I can do it in my own strength. I would need others to help do a favor for me. It is a kindness that God sends towards us and gives towards us, but I believe there's a certain enabling, a certain strength that God gives to be able to do a work. Strength is to do this type of strength, this grace, is to do what we cannot do in our own weakness. It's supernatural, therefore. We see here it's our weakness. It's made perfect. When it says perfect, that means complete. Everything is complete with God's grace. When we acknowledge, I'm weak, I need His strength to accomplish the work. If you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, what you must do, absolutely imperative, is acknowledge your weakness. Acknowledge you're a sinner. Acknowledge because of that sin, you cannot save yourself. You can't take yourself to heaven. I can't take myself to heaven. I had to acknowledge my weakness before God, and as a young boy, sitting in a service like you are this morning, I acknowledged, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself, and only Jesus Christ can. Would you acknowledge your weakness before God in order to be saved? But dear Christian, would you this morning acknowledge your weakness before God that you cannot live the Christian life on your own? We need God's strength. What does this strength do? What is it for? You're in 2 Corinthians 12. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. We're going to come back to our text here in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, we see in verse 10 some of what grace does. What does grace do? It does work. Why is it? Because it's God's strength to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, find verse 10. It says this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." Watch this. "But I labored more abundantly than they all." I am so glad it doesn't end with a period right there and finish. It would sound like, oh, God gave me His grace, but you know what? I worked harder than them all. I labored more than they all. But it doesn't stop there. What actually did the work and the laboring, the strength part? It says, "But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I." But what did the work? But the what? Grace of God, which was with me. This whole phraseology, "but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." It sounds so familiar. It sounds like Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." When I am acknowledging my weakness and accessing God's strength, His grace, it is actually His grace to do for me what I cannot do for myself. You see, grace is there to do the work that we cannot. If we do the work, then it's no more grace. I either depend upon God to do the work by His grace, His strength, or I depend upon myself. Listen to Romans chapter 11 and find verse 6. It says this, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work." Here's the two options you have, okay? I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. I want to go to heaven, okay? My two options. I can work for my salvation. Do good things, do a lot of good things, and try to do it myself, and recognize finally at the end, I can never work, because the Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy has saved us. Or the second option is, I depend upon God's grace. And God's grace says this, "I have already finished the work on the cross for you." Jesus said when He was on the cross, "It is finished." Everything was done. Will you today recognize, I need God's grace to be saved. I need God's grace to live the Christian life. Not only do we see, number one, grace is God's strength, but let's turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and see a second truth. Ephesians chapter 2 and see a second truth. Ephesians chapter 2 and find verse 8. Then I'll mention the second truth. Ephesians chapter 2 and find verse 8. If you have Ephesians 2, 8, would you say amen? Got it? If someone beside you doesn't, can you share with them? And it's so important for all of us to see this. Let's read it, and then I'll mention the second truth, okay? Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, I'll read out loud. You can follow along quietly. It says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." This grace, we're going to see, not only is God's strength, but number two, grace is only given. Only given. Freely supplied, but it's only given. It is never earned. It is never worked for. It is never attained because I am better than I used to be. Grace is only given. It is a gift. It is the gift of God, not of yourselves. In order to be saved, the only real option isn't works. It is God's grace, who's already finished the work. It is God giving us this grace. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15, it says, it talks about the free gift of grace. This gift by grace. God doesn't have to say free when he says gift, but this is intentional redundancy in order to get across the whole point. A gift is always free, freely received by the recipient, purchased by the giver. The gift is always free. We cannot work for it. It's only supplied. It's freely supplied and not earned. That's why the Bible says here, "For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." You cannot work for it. There's a dear lady, she was in a system of religion that taught you had to be good. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, but you also have to be good. You have to do A, B, and C in order to be saved and have your sins forgiven, have eternal life. She was in Pennsylvania, never been out of the state. She's 83 years of age. She came to one of our services, and she raised her hand that she, I said, "Who here would like me to pray for you at the end?" And I said, "Would you let me pray for you? And that you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven." She raised her hand. She didn't talk to anyone that night. She left, but she came back the second night. She raised her hand a second time. I prayed for her again. I don't know if I knew her name at that point or not. She came back the third night, and same thing. This time I just came up to her. I said, her name is Rose. I said, "Miss Rose, I noticed you raised your hand. Would you like to talk to someone so you can know for sure you're going to heaven?" She said, "I sure would." So I and another lady took her into just a Sunday school room, just apart from the auditorium, and we went through the plan of salvation and explained. Now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. She recognized quickly we all have sinned. I explained, because of our sin, there's a punishment. We deserve to be separated from God forever in the place called hell. She even quickly acknowledged that. I then mentioned that Jesus Christ left heaven to die for us and for our sins, that Jesus Christ died to take our place, to die for our sins. She quickly agreed with that. Then I said, "Okay, if everyone's a sinner, and because of our sin, we should die and go to hell, we should be separated from God, but Jesus Christ already finished the work, he already died for us on the cross, then what should we do?" She said, "Well, believe and do good works." I said, "No." I showed her Ephesians 2, 8, 9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works." But she didn't see it. I showed her Titus 3, 5. And I said, "Not of works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." She didn't see it. For years, for decades, she's been taught, you've got to work. Yes, Jesus died for your sins, but you also have to work, and you have to do this in order to be saved and help with God's grace. God's grace is only given, never earned, never worked for, because it's already accomplished what was done. Then I thought of Romans 4, 5. I showed her Romans 4, 5. "But to him that worketh not, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness." It was fall time. I said, "Miss Rose, what if I came to your house and I took a rake and I raked your yard?" She said, "Oh, that'd be so nice." I said, "Wait a minute, that's not the point." And I raked your yard. I get all the leaves off your yard. And then I rake and I clear your sidewalk. And I rake and I clear your driveway. Then I take that same rake and I set it against the wall of your house and then I leave, would you come out of your door, pick up the rake, and begin raking your front yard that has no leaves on it? She giggles. She's 83. She's giggling. She says, no. I said, would you rake and clear the sidewalk that has already been cleared? Well, no. Would you rake and clear the driveway that has no leaves on it? She said, well, no. I said, why not, Miss Rose? She says, because the work's already been done. She saw it. Oh, you mean Jesus already did the work? He's done everything. Yes. Accept it like you would a gift, by faith, depending upon God's grace to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. You see, grace is a gift, freely given, never earned whatsoever. We see, number one today, grace is God's strength. Number two, grace is only given. Number three, grace is accessed through faith. Grace is accessed through faith. Would you turn to your Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We see in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith gets God's grace every time. How is it then that we need to recognize, what do we need to recognize? We need to recognize our weakness to access His grace through faith. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Look, if you would, at Romans 5. Let's go ahead and look at we'll start at verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. If you mark your Bible, mark that. If you can understand this simple truth, that faith always accesses God's grace, you're going to unlock so much of God's word to help you in your life. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So we access God's grace through His strength. Through faith. It is through depending upon Him. This is a reliance upon Him in the middle of our difficulties, in the midst of our weaknesses. It was eventually the morning after our truck and trailer was in the ground. Yes, about 6 hours later, two trucks and all of this and hours of working and fretting. They finally, she said, well, let's go ahead and pull around the truck and get it straight, and then we'll try to winch it out. And so should we go ahead and we start pulling it this way? Again, it's in a curve, and so we have to pull it. The tires are not turning. They're being slid upon the ground. This is a semi. It's popping. I'm thinking, I'm going to tip over, and I'm in it. And she starts pulling it over. Sod about 3 inches deep is just being dug up. We get it straight. So we're going to pull it. We start pulling. Now we're not digging just a 5-foot trench. We're digging like a 10, 15, almost 15, 20-foot ditch. And we finally eventually get up to the solid ground. And I stop. We were perfectly level, front to back and side to side. So I'm not moving. And then the next morning I get up and I read Romans 5 for my devotions. It was just the natural next reading for me. I got to verse 3. Would you look at verse 3? It says this. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Those are the testing, the difficult times. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience experience. Experience hope. Hope that maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. The tribulation is the testing, difficult times. It's the same word we get where they would put the olive in, to be able to press that olive to get the olive oil, to press the grape to get the juice. It's that difficult pressing times of life, the challenges, the trials. It produces patience, which is endurance. It's to be able to continue. It's a great athletic term. You're underneath the weight, and there's one more rep you can push out. There's one more mile that you can run. It's enduring under the weight and pressure. That produces experience. There's nothing like experience, and especially I believe it's connected with character. Our character is growing. And then we have hope. Hope is faith for the future. It's certainty of a future event. It's not how we use it in our vernacular. I hope this will happen. Bible hope is a certainty that will take place. You know, God got me through this pressure, difficult time. He will get me through the next. Are you going through a difficult time? Testing, trials, pressures? You say, man, my problem is this pressure. That's not your problem. Oh, it's these difficulties. No. We can go through difficulties, and we can either come out with a certainty and a hope, or we can come out cynical. Man, you know, things are just getting worse and worse. I mean, there is just, you see how people are acting today? And this is just terrible. You know, no one's getting saved these days. And, churches are just dying out. And, you know, families are getting worse. And divorce is just on a rampage. Children are just going on their own. We've got a cynical spirit. Are you allowing your hope to be snatched away because of the difficult times? Don't have a negative outlook on your difficult times. The difficult trials of life are there, if not for any other purpose than this, to help you realize your weakness that always exists. Your difficult times are there to help you realize. Your difficult times are there to help you realize the weakness that always exists. God knows it's there, but so many times we think, I'm strong enough to do this. I can handle this as a Christian. I can, if I just try a little bit harder. No! You're weak. What we need to do is this, is acknowledge our weakness. That's at 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9. His strength is made perfect, complete in my weakness. I've got to acknowledge it. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, will you acknowledge today that you're a sinner who is in need of salvation? It's like someone who's drowning and they're going under the water. And they think they can try a little bit harder. A drowning victim will not call out for help until he thinks and he realizes, I can't do this on my own. And he finally calls out, help! The lifeguard comes to save him. Would you acknowledge your need? Say, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I can't get myself to eternal life. I've been going down the road of good works. I thought it was you do different things to try to earn eternal life. But I see today, I trust Jesus Christ and his grace to do for me the work he's already accomplished on the cross. Will you trust Christ as your Savior by acknowledging your weakness? But dear Christian, would you stop trying and stop the perspective in your mind and philosophy that's worldly that you can do certain things in your Christian life? You know, the biggest thing that the biggest challenge I have in talking to unsaved people is they think they can do something to earn their salvation. They can work for it. You know, the biggest thing, the biggest challenge and difficulty I have to overcome with Christians is they think they can live the Christian life themselves. You can't. I mean, why is it that I'm having so much difficulty? Why am I having all these problems and trials and I'm just not keeping my head above water? Have you just said, dear God, I can't do it. Help! And have his grace get you through those problems. Those problems in your life are not really your problem. It's to reveal your problem. It's yourself. It's our own weaknesses. And our weakness that always exists. The word weakness in 2 Corinthians 12 is connected with that infirmities, also in verse 10. The idea of the infirmity is, oh boy, I got a little cold and cough. No. It is, the idea of weakness is, I am absent of strength. I cannot do it. I'm bedridden. I can't even get up. On one side we have grace. It's God's strength. On the other side is weakness. Weakness is not a little bit of strength. It's the absence of strength. We need to say, dear God, what I haven't been doing is acknowledging I'm weak and only you are strong. And dear God, I'm always weak and you are always strong. Why is it that you say, I've been having difficulties and I can't get victory in my Christian life? Why do I feel so distant from God? James chapter 4 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he said, God resisteth the proud, but gives grace to the humble. It's the one that says, okay, acknowledge I'm weak. I need you. Would you acknowledge today that you need the Lord for your Christian life? Would you acknowledge today, if you haven't been saved, that you need Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? We got the truck and trailer out. The next morning, I saw these verses. God spoke to my heart in a great way. But that night, when I preached the youth rally, I left before the invitation was over because of going dealing with the truck. There were four young people that got saved. The next day, I preached at a men's stakeout outreach. There were eight men that trusted Christ as Savior. The following Sunday was Friend Day. They had several guests and visitors. I presented the gospel, and four people responded in the service, talked with counselors, and were saved. That next week, I preached to the Christian school, and there were three others trusted Christ. There were 19 that we definitely know of. We think there are even more that were dealt with later on Wednesday night. 19 we definitely know where we're saved. Say, hey, Brother Miller, you want to get stuck in a septic tank again? Well, that wouldn't be my first choice. But you know what? I've got some hope now. Certainty that God got me through that one. And I'd do it again if it meant 19 people saved and me growing in my dependence and character building process of becoming more like Jesus Christ. What is it that you're going through? Why don't you just right now say, dear God, I acknowledge my weakness. I need your strength. Let's pray. Father,